Hello, my friends. It is episode 2 of the new Heartbreak series. We are on season 3. And welcome back. I'm happy to have you guys here. If this is your first time listening, there is a series of shit in here that you could find useful to your ethically non-monogamous life or kink or whatever. And if you're a repeat user, welcome back. Today I want to talk about what it's like to experience witnessing your partner have heartbreak with somebody else that isn't you. This is a topic I feel that is slightly controversial and is attuned to everybody individually with how you want to experience your ethical non-monogamy. For me and my polyamory, my husband and I have been through many heartbreaks, both him and I, and how we want to make that look like has been a journey that was unspoken at first. And there's only so many rules you can put in place and boundaries you can put in place until you're in a situation that you never really talked about, or even if you did talk about it, it feels completely different than what you originally had sought out and planned for. My husband had gone through a few episodes where he had heartbreak. And this heartbreak was very fucking sad. And for me to witness that for him, it wasn't about fixing it. It wasn't about trying to convince him one way or another. I really wanted to just give my husband space. I've heard a lot of people talking about in the community that it isn't somebody's responsibility for somebody else's heartbreak. And I think to myself, if my best friend was going through a heartbreak, who the fuck is she going to go to? Me. If or one of our friend circle, right? Or if, you know, I'm experiencing a heartbreak, the people closest to me are the ones that I want to talk to and receive support from. So how you manage that is individual. So let's say, for example, you're in a situation where your partner is in a really intense relationship. You're feeling insecure already about how in love they are with each other. You're feeling insecure about their connection and how your connection with this person feels maybe at risk, or it's not as NRE, new relationship energy, as it once was. And your experience is this: I'm already trying to cling on to this person, or I feel distant from this person. I still want to support this person, but man, oh man, watching them love someone else is hard at baseline. And then they go through a fight with their partner. There is privileged information that we get from somebody, and the ability to easily manipulate a person when emotionally vulnerable. Say, for example, I have a fight with a partner, and my nesting partner says, "Wow, that guy's a piece of shit. You shouldn't go out with that guy. Fuck that guy. These are not good things." Stuff like that doesn't really help, you know, because you're not sitting there because that already makes a person defensive to the person that has already done her wrong or him wrong. That person already feels like, oh, you know, I know this is bad, but how do I forgive? And so that has a lot of opportunity. So if you just hold space for someone, and not a lot of people really understand what holding space is. So I'm going to give a bit of an explanation. When you're holding space for somebody, first, before you hold that space for somebody, you say, do you want any of my advice? And do you want me to ask you more questions? Or do you want me to just simply hold space and listen to you? And then based on their response is how you're going to proceed with a conversation. So if my spouse says, I want you to hold space for me. At the end of them saying anything, I just look at them. I give them the info, like I'm listening and I'm active listening. I'm taking this stuff on board. And when they're done, I'll clarify, are you done? And not in a condescending way, just genuinely, thank you for sharing. You don't even have to say, are you done? You can just say, thank you for sharing. I love you. I'm here for you. Let me know how I can support you. And sometimes in that moment that changes, they say, well, maybe I do want some of your advice or your opinion. And then it's a discussion. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to defend said person. The only thing that you should ever do when you're supporting someone is to be supportive and not give demands about whether they should or should not do anything. Because the person who is making these decisions already feels influenced as is. And coming from a person who wants to people please, if my husband says to me, you should break up with this guy, that's hard for me not to fucking do because I want to appease my husband. I want my husband to be happy. I value his opinion. But that doesn't mean it's my opinion or what I should do. So, you know, he doesn't tell me what to do. He holds space for me. He says, fuck, that sucks. I'm super sorry you're experiencing that. How can I help you? I'm here for you. I love you. And, you know, so you have the opportunity to manipulate someone or hold space for them. So when you're having this situation where you're already feeling insecure about someone and then they have a fight and then they have another fight and then they have another fight, and even though you don't like this person they're dating, you don't feel as though this relationship's going to go anywhere good. Keep letting that person go through those trenches because they are working on themselves. They are working through the conflict. They're trying to either get past it or they're trying to figure it out. So these people are struggling, usually, in conflict. So then eventually one day, this person breaks up with this person. And now you see them falling apart. You see your person falling apart. And that could look like tears. It could look like anger, irritability, anxiety, you know, being introverted, you know, hiding in bed all day. We know those classic signs of depression or angst. For me, my recent heartbreak was quite devastating for me. 3 days leading up to my full decision of ending the relationship, I knew in my heart that it had to end, and I grieved more those 3 days when I was still technically dating that person than I did after. After I did it, I felt relief, and I knew I made the right choice. So those 3 days, I was crying at random. If anybody hugged me too long, I was wrecked. I was crying. You know, if anybody asked me how my day was, I'd be like, don't ask. It's not a good day to answer that question. And that was a relationship that was trauma bonded. So pretty extreme emotions. And I'm really grateful for the support and the time I needed. You know, I needed not only just support, but I needed alone time to really figure out what my mind was going through and how I was going to heal. And I was really grateful. I have an amazing community surrounding me, people who care and who want to support me. And I just can't, you know, I can't even say into words how important that is to my life. But, you know, when it comes down to it, the only person that I really wanted to kind of confide into is my husband. And talking to my husband is amazing. He's always on my side. So sometimes I can't get the full view. If I feel like I might be in the wrong, that's when I go to therapy. I have an incredible psychologist, or well, he's not a psychologist. He's actually a social worker, but that works as a therapist. And incredible, because it gives me an opportunity to get a really like bird's eye view of my situation so I can evaluate it for myself and whether or not what I want to do. And so it's just watching your person go through heartbreak is hard. Watching your person go through heartbreak when you are insecure about their relationship or that connection, that the love that they feel for somebody else, is even harder. Especially when they go back to that person again, even though you're like, oh, this is going to end bad. Or even though you're like, oh man, I just got this relief for a few days thinking you guys were over, and now I'm back to having to feel my insecurities and jealousy again. And so there's this bounce back we have constantly through our emotions, and nobody talks about it. Like, that's not in a polyamory book anywhere or fucking guide anywhere. That's not like there's no relationship basics about how to watch your person have a heartbreak with somebody else they love. You know, it's there's no how-to on this. But one of the things that I really sat with and I felt called about, it was like, okay, so who the fuck is going to manage all these emotions? And how do we do that best for our people? And it sounds so simple, but it kind of is, because we have to heal. You know, we all the time, our heart gets hurt in this world by an enormous amount of things, a crazy amount of things. So much. The world is our oyster of pain. And in order to heal pain, you have to feel pain. And so, you know, not pretending like it didn't happen, not feeling guarded, not wanting to show your vulnerability, but being genuinely present and allowing yourself to feel the emotions. So for those 3 days, I just let myself cry and cry and cry. And man, I think I cried for hours. My eyes were so swollen. They hurt when I blinked. And I felt sick. I didn't eat for a long time. It was a great fast. But, you know, like, it was, I allowed myself to feel that emotion. And only you can decide whether or not you've felt those emotions enough, and then you're like, okay. Like, for me, I'm not a person that sits in grief for too long. I'm not a person that sits in sadness. I'm too positive. It's annoying as fuck. I hate being sad. But I made myself feel those emotions because I didn't want it to linger. I didn't want to continue feeling that pain. And the pain comes up every once in a while. It's not like it's all of a sudden I'm healed. I'm good. I'm done crying now. Everything's fine. Until I see a fucking Ontario license plate and I'm angry. Anyways, that was random. My other partner that I recently broke up with was from Ontario. So every time I see an Ontario license plate, and I see them all the time now, I'm like, literally, seriously, come on. Where's all the Alberta ones? So anyways, I digress. It's still there. But, you know, feeling that hurt really gave me the ability to move on. And so I thought it was kind of funny, because even one of my best girlfriends, I was like, all right, guys, like, it was like a week later, I'm like, I'm going on a first date. And she's like, well, you're moving so fast, like slow down, make sure you feel your pain and like heal your hurt. And I'm like, girl, ain't nobody got time for that. Okay. I was crying. I was sad. And yeah, it fucking sucks. I thought I met a person that was going to be in my life for the rest of my life. And then I was tragically mistaken, tragically mistaken and blinded by love and not seeing abuse. And so I was blinded, and you know what? I know that to be true. And so once you take off the blinders, it's like an aha moment. That's why I say, like, in 3 days I grieved, and it's not because I was like, I'm ending this relationship, I need to figure out how to tell him. It was like I was processing, and all of a sudden these blinders were coming off, and I was seeing the light, and I was like, oh my God, how did I get here? And then all of a sudden it just made sense, you know? It just made sense. And I was done. I was like, okay, this is it. And so it's not as though, no matter what that person did to me to make me want to end the relationship, no matter what the conflict was that ended the relationship, no matter if that person was misloyal to you, lied to you, whatever it is, like whatever happened for you, you have choices. You know, you have choices to be like, okay, I'm not going to sit, like, I'm going to feel my emotions, I'm going to grieve this relationship, this is fucking sad, but I'm moving on. And so for me, I was like, girl, don't tell me I need to sit here and be miserable for longer, because, you know, they may need more time. I don't. I've never been one to sit in that. I think it's partly my trauma that has made me this way, but like, I have been in very long-term relationships, and they've ended and not a tear goes by. And I'm like, okay, well, that was love. Now it's not. Moving on. And, you know, I feel like, I think possibly, like, you know, certain people would elicit different things. Like, my husband is a pretty rare human. There's a reason why I married him. I think that if anything happened to him, or if, like, whatever, like, I don't think we would ever get the big D. But, like, if that, like, ever occurred, I think it would be a different situation for sure. I don't think it would be all of a sudden I'd be like, okay, bye. Or like, even like, I think it's situational, you know, like, it's not like I only dated this other person for about 6 months they were in my life. So it's not as though, you know, like, and it was an intense relationship. It was a fucking super intense relationship. But, you know, it wasn't like they're my chosen human, one of, you know, well, it's complicated when you're polyamorous. It's like, what is a chosen human? You know what I mean? You can totally have two nesting partners and they mean the exact same way, or they mean different ways. It's complicated. So the whole point of what I'm trying to get to is supporting people is what they need. And sometimes people don't know how to ask for support, and they don't know that they don't want your advice until after you've given your advice. And then they're like, nah, I don't want it anymore. Or they're mad at you, and you can see them reacting to your advice. And so, you know, it's all about this, like, how can I support this person? How can I love this person? And how can I also manage my own emotions? Because at the end of the day, we're responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for our emotions and what that looks like. Embracing them, and then what that looks like when we're trying to heal from them. And it's all about this communication about what your reality looks like. And you have to just tell people around you. I had people being like, Jen, I really want to be there for you. Can I please spend time with you? And I'm like, I don't want to spend time with you right now. I need to be alone. And they're like, okay, that's great. I love you. I'm like, I love you too, from afar. And so, like, or there was, times where I felt like I could only cry as hard as I needed to cry when I was alone, and like, not in front of my husband, kind of trying to put on this like protective face, being like, I don't want my husband to have to deal with me crying all the time. But sometimes that's just life. You know, we just grieve whatever it is. It could be in a series of things. We could lose our job. We could get a serious medical condition. We could, you know, something horrific could happen to our children, or like, you know, life tragedy occurs all the time, and it's not just heartbreak. And so we always have to be responsible for our healing and our emotions, and how that affects, and being aware of how that affects our other humans and being honest about what you need. And sometimes if you're supporting someone and they're taking a lot of space and they're needing a lot of a support, be honest with the fact that if you can't support them to what they need, because if they need someone who has a lot of spoons, if you've heard of spoon theory, you have so many spoons, you can only give so many spoons away and eventually you have no more spoons. You only have so many spoons of energy. And so if you run out of spoons and they still want more from you and you can't give that, that's something both people have to understand, that there's only so much someone can give. And if that's not going to benefit you, that's the beauty of polyamory, because you could just go to your other partner and see if they could help you. Or you could reach out to a friend or some family, or, you know, find other people that are going to help support you. Go to your therapist. There's a series of events or things that you could do. And if you're ever feeling stuck and you're like, I don't even know what to do, I don't know how to manage my emotions, I don't know what to do, I would 100% all the time always recommend seeing a therapist of some kind. Because bird's eye view is the best thing that you could ever do for yourself. And talking about it with a professional is always super supportive. You are always welcome to share anything with me, and I will do my best to show you and direct you to people who can help, or I can help the best way I can, or if I have the spoons to help you myself. So you never know who's going to be willing to be supportive, and us poly people in the community need to stick together. There's also a beautiful idea is the Facebook group, The Poly Life. It has thousands of people on there. You can even post anonymously and people will post, I mean, some shit advice, but some people post a lot of beautiful advice. You just have to sift through the good stuff and the bad stuff, but you always have somebody. You're never actually alone, especially in our world of technology these days. And if you just have to find the right communities so that you can gain the knowledge that you need to have the support that you need, and, you know, and the awareness in yourself, that'd be like, oh yeah, I gotta take care of myself. So that is the Heartbreak Series. I'm gonna only have one more episode on the Heartbreak Series because I'm ready to move on. 3 days means 3 episodes. And I'm fucking weird. Stay tuned. I will record it soon. I love you all and I hope you're well. And I hope you're doing something fun right now. I'm gonna go masturbate. Okay, bye.